Okay, we're continuing. Tonight we're going to be discussing some of the most important Eterim. The head of Garef Shel Rei, we'll talk about a little bit. I hope to get there. And also about seeds, we'll talk about bones and other items which potentially may or may not be mukta. Meat as well. Okay, we're bottom of page 216. No, we're in bottom of page... Seif Chav Zayin. Atzomos Shurim Leklovim. Atzomos. Bones Shurim Leklovim. Bones which are edible for dogs. Dogs will eat those bones. Atzomos Shurim Leklovim. Bones which are good for dogs. For Klovim Shurim Lemaichel Behema. And shells which are. Normally eaten by animals. So animals will eat and chew those shells. So it's in a way edible for animals. The perurim shein bohem kezayis, and also crumbs, leftovers on the table. Shein bohem kezayis, which have less than the kezayis. So they're very small crumbs. Bones, shells, crumbs. Mutar la'avir me'al shulchan, you have to remove them from the table. They're not considered mukza. But if the shells are not edible at all for animals, such as eggshells, and animals won't touch, then also let them become mukta.
Yes, we've started.
What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to shake the board of the table. You're allowed to shake the board of the table. If I'm not, it's going to fall out. This is the hetter of Tiltul Kalachayad. So we're discussing if there's shells and bones which animals will eat, they're not mukta. They still have use and they're not mukta. Shells, bones, crumbs. If it's something which an animal wouldn't touch, then it is mukta. So what am I going to do with it? You've got shells and bones on the table. They're not particularly repulsive. If they are particularly repulsive, we'll speak about it later. They're not particularly repulsive, but they are not edible for our animals, so it becomes mukta. What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to shake the table, and thereby it's going to fall off. This is a key heter. This is the heter of tiltul kalachayat, indirect removal of mukta objects. That's not the normal way of removing items on the table. Therefore, that's a heter, general heter. If you've got any mukta, which you want to remove, you can shake it in an indirect way, and thereby it's going to fall off, and that you're allowed to do that. Menayer es atav, you're allowed to shake the board, ve'im noifim, it's going to fall down. Ve'im yesh pasal ha-shulchon, if there is bread, challah on the table, then mutar le'akbi os atav, lo le'taltolim ha-klifim, she'enu ha'achol be'imo. So if you've got another hat as well, so one we said you're allowed to shake it, and it's going to fall off, that's fine. But there's another thing as well. If you don't want to shake it, it's too heavy or whatever it is, but you happen to have a challah on the table, so what the halacha is, you've got a challah, Chal is obviously not mukta, and you've got shells on the table which are mukta. So now the halachic definition of the table is that it is considered a bosses, the dovah heta and the dovah also. The table now is a bosses, and since there's also a heta item placed on it, so you're allowed to move the table. Yes, it's true, you're allowed to move the shells and the bones which are mukta, but remember there is still chal is on the table. Therefore, you're allowed to move the actual table. So that's what he says. You're allowed to move the table or the board. You're allowed to move that with the bones and the shells on it, which are mukta ones, because they're bottled to the pas, to the bread. So again, since there's bread on the table, you're allowed to move and shake and lift up the table because... although there is mukta items on it, because there's chal on it. If you need the place where the table is positioned, this is the general head of mukta that you allow to move it anyway. So now, this is the fact that there is a table, and you need to have the place where the table is, you need to have it. You need to move the table because you need to sit there, you need to do something there, you want to do something on the place where the table actually is. Then, never mind, even if there's no challah on the table, just mukta bones and mukta shells, you're allowed to still move the table. Because that's a general heta. Whenever there's something mukta, you're allowed to move. If it's mukta machmas isr, you're still allowed to move the tzarich gufa mekoyim, allowed to move the table away if you need the actual place. So Rabbi said, we're learning over here three key eterim that are very important. We're learning that bones, which are sometimes mukta, sometimes not. Bones are mukta if they're not going to be eaten and chewed by animals. But if they are going to be still going to be eaten by animals, the bones and shells are not mukta. Point number one. Point number two, we're learning that if they are mukta, then you're allowed to shake it off. That's a general heter of shaking it off. Remember, that's what we do when you have another mukta item on the table. To shake off the mukta item from the table, that is mutter. You have to shake it off. And then we learned that if you want to lift it up and move it elsewhere, so you're allowed to do that if there is other heter item on the table, so the table becomes a bosses. You have got a challah on the table and you've got mukta bones on the table. You'll have to lift it up and move it away. Why? Because you've got over here challah on it. So it becomes a mukta ladova. It becomes a bosses ladova, a heter ladova also. You're allowed to move it away. But never mind shaking. You're allowed to move it. The board where the table is placed. The board of the table. Or whatever. That was the situation. You'd have to move the table. Yeah, you would. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch scenario is, v'miyesh pasul chul mutar l'akbi'a tavlo v'letalton im'aklifim. This is talking about a board on the table. That's what the Shulchan Aruch scenario is. Yeah, I suppose in our scenario, yeah, I mean, you're right. In our, yeah, Shulchan Aruch's case is talking about the tavla, which would have, the Shulchan Aruch's word is a tavla board, which has on it the challah and muktzad. Correct. Yes, you're right. And finally we're learning that if you need actual place, then in line with the general heter of Tzorech Guf and Mekoyma, you'd be allowed to move the whole table away. You'd have to move everything away because you need the place because of Tzorech Guf and Mekoyma. Sif Chav Ches tells us, Chavile Yetzim Vekash. This is a huge amount, a very substantial amount of Yetzim of woods, Vekash and hay. She's killing Michael Behem. We've got a whole pile of hay, which is here, piled up because you want to feed your animals with it. So Afilim Gdoilim Ha'abim Mutalatalim, even if it's very big, you're allowed to move it. Why allowed to move it? It's hay. Why isn't it mukta? Hay generally is mukta. Why isn't it mukta? The answer is because you've designed it. You've decided that it's going to be eaten for the animals. And therefore, since it's meant for the animals, before Shabbos, you said you designated for the animals, it's not mukta anymore. For animal food is not mukta. So even if it's loads, it's not mukta. Siv Chav Tes. Anything which is normally edible for general, average animals and birds which are locally to be found and around. So anything that normally common birds would eat is not mukta. But what if you've got a certain kind of, you've got certain bones, certain shells, which only leopards will eat? Hayaks. Cheetahs, which normally we don't find so much roaming around in the Broadfield estate. Not that many of them are roaming around. So the halacha then is that it will become mukta. It's true that some animals will eat it, but it's not the common animals locally. So he says, "Veim eino roi, if it is not roi, ela lemaichel chayev oif, if it's only edible for birds and animals, she'eino mitzum, which are not locally around, if it's only for animals which are rare animals, then im yesh loy meois amin chayev oif mutar l'taltel maichel roi lois amin v'im lav also. So you've got certain bones, and normal cats and dogs won't touch those bones. Only snow leopards will eat those bones. Yeah, and only certain what's that? Polar bear likes those bones very, very much. So now it's mukta. It's mukta. What happens if in your backyard you happen to have a polar bear? What happens then? If you happen to have a polar bear or hags in your back garden, so that's the halach. Exactly. If you happen to have one of them, it's not mukta. But as long as you don't have those animals in your back garden, it will be mukta for you because there's no purpose in those bones. So what happens if you've got, says the Ramah, a piece of meat which has a bone sticking out, which normally dogs will eat? Dogs will eat this kind of bone of your chicken. You have a chicken, and in that chicken there was a shtickle bone which is sticking out. So is that mukta? Yes or no?
if you take out the bone? The halacha is yes. Normally, dogs will eat those kinds of bones, and therefore it's not muktzah. I'm going through the Ramah again. For the fizan, therefore, mutar letaltal atzamos. You're allowed to remove and move and carry atzamos bones. Shenispar kumina basa, which came off the meat, merev Shabbos before Shabbos. Im ra'uim leklovim, if they are eaten by dogs, the klovim etzim, because dogs are common. Dogs are common. Dogs are common. Dogs are common. So it sounds like, not only today, I always had the feeling, and I must be wrong, I thought historically, Rabbosai, since when do people have dogs? Since when do people have dogs? I thought this was a modern thing. I thought that really dogs are, please correct me. I didn't know. I thought, and I'm obviously wrong, unless somebody can correct me, I thought that dogs were really wild. And it's only in the recent generations that they've been civilized, well, sort of civilized, and they've been included in civilized society. And I thought it's really, really, dogs are wild, really. And they've only been recently introduced as pets, fairly recently. I'm talking about 100 years ago or so. I thought, that's what I thought. Anybody into history? History of civilized dogs? Anybody is expert? A-level history? Oh, I see. But they were wild as well. They were not really domesticated. It's interesting. So what I'm seeing in this Ramah is that dogs were common. So maybe it's wild dogs. I doubt it. You wouldn't feed them. I don't know. So I'm not sure. What I'm seeing over here is a shtickle. Anybody into history of anybody who wants to have do a bit of research about dogs in modern.
Dogs from Mitzrayim went barking.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, that's for those who are interested in. Okay. Okay. Now we move on with Sif Chavtes, Sif Lamed. Garine Tmorim. Seeds of Tmorim. Tomoy. So now we're going to see if that makes a difference or not. Pemokishim Achilim Oysam Lebehema. In places where those seeds, the pips of a tomah, if it is, if you feed normally animals with those pips, how does it look like? Anybody seen it? Yeah? Yeah? How does it look like? They're small. Okay, so you said as follows. In places you feed those pips to animals, mutar letaltal dana mukta. Dana mukta. So if you feed those pips to animals, it's not mukta. But it does say, Adam Choshev, if you're an important person, slightly more elegant and slightly more posh personality, you have to be stringent on yourself. You don't touch it, you don't move it. Only with the shinu. Why is that? Why do posh people not allowed to touch those pips? Pardon?
Below the dignity.
Because those pips are normally for animal feeds, they normally wouldn't bother. It's not part of their remit, it's not part of their world. It's not something you'd normally touch. Because they're more elegant, more posh people, and therefore it remains muktzah for them. They should do it derech shinui. It's a chumra, but it's better not for them. What about other pips of other, the bialocha goes into other pips, other garinim, other pips and apple stones of other pips of other peras, or is it of other fruits? Mukta na mukta. Pear, avocado, mukta. Why? You cannot eat them. Bialocha interestingly says leinyan garine sha peros. Says the bialocha efshe the moide shulchanoch. So shulchanoch is supporting moide. Agrees with the Rambam. That it is roi for machal behema, and therefore it is not mukta. Bialocha goes into various details toward the ends of the bialocha, and he says actually most of the garine aperois are. He speaks about a pear. He says that normally they are not mukta because normally animals will eat it. Most.
So if they would be mukta, you won't be allowed to eat
the. You'd have to move it, but you have to just ensure that at the end you're not allowed to just. Let's say put it on the table, and then after. Yes, if it's still in the same holding, then you'll have to. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, we are learning lemaisa. We're learning lemaisa that they're not muktzah because it's roi lemachal behema. Seif lamadala basu chai. Raw meat. More raw meat. Afilu tofel she'enem meluach klal. Raw meat which wasn't salted at all. Motel etaltele is not muktzah. Meshum de chazel umtzah because it can be still used. It can be still used. The chazel umtzah. Vechenim o tofuach if it is, completely, it is rotten and it's blown up already. It's swollen from age. It's, well, rotten really. It's good moldy. It's like blown up. Mutter taltro. It's all you have to carry it. Mushum the royal coven because dogs will eat rotten meat. What about frozen meat, Rabbosai? Frozen meat. Muktzah, not muktzah? Why is it muktzah? Frozen meat. Same as raw meat? Frozen meat, muktzah or no muktzah?
Not raw meat.
Why not muktzah?
It wouldn't
be
ourselves. Oh. It's the same as raw meat.
Rabbi said the poskim say that raw meat is muktzah. That frozen meat is muktzah. If you leave it out and it becomes defrosted and it's noilat and maybe then it's fine. But if it's in a frozen state, meat is muktzah.
Does it make a difference if it's been cooked and then frozen?
Don't think so. Because now in its state, now it's not. You can't use it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Seif Lamed Beis talks about fish. Dog Moluach, salted fish. Mutter Tatu, you're allowed to move it. Salted fish, you're allowed to move it. Fisheinu Moluach, but if it's not salted at all, also, if you've got fish that hasn't been salted at all, it's not edible, and therefore it is not royal. No, enuroi, and it's muktzah, and you're not to move it. The Mishaburin Sivkot Nukuf Chavov speaks about herring. And he says that herring, since it is, he said that it's obviously, it's not muktzah, because it is, and also he speaks about, smoked fish is not muktzah because it's edible, and whether you like it or not, it is edible, and it's not muktzah. Khmer Shaynamum Chasif Lamet Gimel. We spoke about Khmer already previously. This is something which has got a scholar, of doing lufu or something. So here this is a khmer, which is not of a mum. It's not. It hasn't been confirmed to be a full-fledged khmer, but it is a khmer of en mumcha. So it hasn't been fully established. Avul pisha en yoytzim boy, you're not allowed to go out with it because it is a she'enu mumcha, has been established, and therefore it's not considered a malbush and a tachshit. So en yoytzim boy, you're not allowed to walk around with it, but meltaltin no, it's not considered muktzah. And here goes Seif Lamed Dalet, perhaps the most famous Seif in this long simon. Kol Dava Metulef, anything which is very dirty. Please excuse my expressions. Kugon Ri'i Veki VeTzoya, such as Tzoya, a person's waist. Ki, a person's vomit. Excuse my expression. Ri, anything really particularly dirty. Pain Shel Adam, whether it is human waste, pain shaltana goylim, whether from a chicken, fekyoit sabayim and similar. Him, this is called gev shalrei. So all these particularly, these particular items, fekyoit sabayim. Him are you bechotza sheyoshvim bo, if it is, they are all in a place where people were sitting. And in a courtyard, people are sitting and enjoying themselves, and there is riv, kiv, tzoyo there. Mutalo etziom na'ashpo, you're allowed to move it away. He had to take it and place it elsewhere. Oile beis akisei, he had to throw it down to the beis akisei. Remember the beis akisei toilet was in an outhouse. Ve'afilu b'loi kli, without a kli, you do not need to use a vessel. If you want to just move it like this, you have to move it away like this. V'imoyo b'chotze she'enu dorsham, but if there's nobody living there, it just happened to be there, but nobody living there. Also, lo'etzim, you're not to move it. You're not allowed to move it. So there's a heter. There's a heter of Gerev Shalrei, that if something is particularly dirty and particularly causes a particular discomfort, you're allowed to move it away, as long as this is a residential area. If people are there and it's particularly dirty, you're allowed to move it away. You can even do it without a kli. You don't need a particularly kli. It's not, in other words, it doesn't come with a heter of tiltul, minatzat, or anything like that. It doesn't, it's a heter standing on its own right of gerev shalrei, something which is particularly dirty, you have to move away. And the Shulchan Aruch continues, what happens if you're worried about it's in a place, not in a residential area, in a place where there's nobody particularly there, but you know that your baby, or your toddler ends up there at times, and you don't want your toddler to go and end up there playing with it. So you're allowed to put a vessel on top of it to protect your baby from accessing it. So we are learning the head of Gerev Shalei, and it's a head which applies elsewhere as well. When I have to be genuinely honest, though, not everything which is not comfortable is necessarily goes into the heter. So, for instance, if you've got the shells that we spoke about earlier, you've got shells or bones which are on the table before. So here, that the heter of Gerev Shalei doesn't apply. It might not be particularly nice and elegant to have bones sitting on the table, but nevertheless, it's not included in that heter. It needs to be something which is on a particular level. Hafal pi, says the Shulchan Aruch, hafal pi, although shemotah lehoitzi Gerev Shalei ve'abet shel meraglaim. Although you are allowed to move the Gerev Shalei, that's a bed pan, you're also allowed to move because of the head of Gerev Shalei. You're allowed to move the meraglaim as well away. Also, lachzirav, you're allowed to return it. So if you have a kli, a vessel which is like next to your bed, and that's why people used in the nights. So if you have that, you're allowed to move it away because it's a Gerev Shalei, but you won't be allowed to return it afterwards. So when you take it away, you're allowed to take it away, but if you want to return it back, like next to your bed, that would be also because the heter is only to bring it there, but not to return it. But if you put water into it, then it would be becomes a heter, like a keli, it would be mutter then, yeah.
I've answered it.
Okay.
Say if it was a chola and he needed it back or a very old...
Yeah. So just by... Correct. And finally for tonight, see Flamed Vav. You're not to make something into a Gerev Shalei. You're not to create, yes, if something is particularly dirty, you're allowed to move it away. But you're not to lechatchila create something like that. You're not to lechatchila make something which is so dirty that you're gonna afterwards move it to the head of Gerev Shalei. That you're allowed to do. To move something, to bring something, something which is going to get particularly dirty, to take it off this way, that you're not allowed to do. But if it did happen, at the end of the post factum, you're allowed to move it away and place it elsewhere. So again, the halachas that we learned tonight, Rabbi Yisai, to summarize, we started in Ziv Chav Zayin tonight, learning about the bones, if something belongs to, is animal's bones, or other shells that animals would use. It's not mukta if something an animal wouldn't touch, then it is mukta. But we learned that the head of shaking it away, that's mutta. If there's a bread there, that's also fine because it's a bosses of dover het and dover also. If there is chavile kash ve'etzim, if you've got hay, it's not mukta because animals will eat it if it's designated for animals beforehand. We learned anything that animals would eat is not mukta. About various seeds, if it is edible for animals, is again not mukta. Raw meat is a mukta. We learned about blown up moldy meat is not mukta because animals would eat it. We spoke about fish. We spoke about keina mumcha, which is not mukta. We spoke about the head of Gerev Shalei, which is you're allowed to move it away, but only if it's a residential area, otherwise not. We spoke about not making Gerev Shalei alechatchila, and Baruch Hashem, that's what we covered tonight, and I wish you a very good evening.